720 WGN. John Williams grew up in a house with Barry Manilow records. He's still putting them out.
For I knew that I was blessed when I was just like the rest of the people who never let dreams in their minds. Music would play and say, maybe you're wasting your time.
Barry's on the phone, but now I want to listen to the song. Mr. Manilow, what should we do? Listen to the whole song, or should we talk to you? Your thoughts.
Oh, God, I haven't heard it in so long. What a wonderful song that was.
Really, I was wondering if your songs are all like your babies, and you love them all the same, or do you have one or two that are your favorites?
Well, you know, I sing the hits in Vegas every night. And, you know, it's wonderful. The hits are just great, and the audience loves them. But, you know, there are these album cuts that pop up, like what you just did, that I've forgotten about. And, you know, they just bring back memories. And I'm so proud of the writing of these songs and the performance and the production. Really, I don't pay attention to them as much as I should.
What would you say, then, is your greatest craft? Singer, songwriter, composer, producer? I mean, you've had a hand in all of those places. We all know you wrote jingles for companies years and years ago. What is it that made Barry Manilow Barry Manilow?
I think the thing I do that nobody else does is I'm an arranger. That's what I want. I wanted to be Nelson Riddle when I grew up. I wanted to take songs that either I wrote or other people wrote and flip them around and make them even more and find different facets to them. And that's what I do best. I did it for Bette Midler, you know, on Do You Want to Dance, you know, that old rock and roll song, and we made it into a ballad, and it turned into a big hit record. And anyway, that's what I do, and that's what makes me different than all the other singers, because I love doing arrangements of songs, whether they're my own or whether they're the outside material.
Maybe that explains this. We were talking before you came on, Barry, about an interview you gave the New York Times last year, and they said this: audiences in your shows are always giddy. When you perform, are you also having a good time? And you said, I never have a good time. I'm working. I kind of bleed up there. Are you going to stick with that answer? Is that a fair representation?
Well, you know, I have a good time is just an odd way of putting it. I mean, when the show is over and I actually, you know, the audience is happy, as long as they're happy, then I am having a good time. But it's a job. It's a real, I'm committed to making these audiences have a great time. Well, that's what I think of. I don't think of having a good time. I think of making them happy. Well, you know, it's not about me being happy. It's about them being happy. So am I having a good time? Well, I guess when it's over, I look back and say, I guess I had a good time because they were happy.
I get that. I think that answer makes sense. But this also makes sense. Don't do it anymore. Have you ever thought, heck, I don't have to work anymore. I'm Barry Flippin' Manilow.
Well, I could do that. I couldn't. I just couldn't stop. I think I would probably croak if I stopped. I'm just a creator, you know. I just have a million ideas all the time. I'm working on the next album now. You know, I'm changing the show in Vegas around. I'm just filled with ideas. The well hasn't run dry yet, thank goodness.
Is it hard, though, for a person late in his life to still write great songs? It seems like the songs we know and grow up with were written by people in their 20s or 30s or teens, for that matter.
But they don't write as good as I do.
So that never goes away, right? Like, maybe a person's voice changes, maybe their energy changes, but the ability to know a song in your head is still there, huh?
Right. You know, I can't say that, you know, my writing are hit songs, because nobody can say that except for Diane Warren. But nobody can say that. You know, you can write, I think I'm going to write a hit song. It's impossible. But I can write a pretty good song, and that's about as far as I can take it. And that I can still do.
On paper, do you know, though, when you do write a hit, do you say, I didn't set out to write a hit, but, oh, this one is going on the charts?
Well, no, I've always been very bad at that. I've always been very, I couldn't spot a hit song. I wouldn't know how to do that. But, you know, I can write something and then I walk away from it for a day. And when I come back, then I can say, oh, now, it wasn't as good as I thought it was when I was writing. Or, yes, it seems to, it's still working for me.
Barry Manilow's on the phone. He's got a new album out. I'll feature that in just a minute. But give me an example of a song, though, Barry, that surprised you, that you didn't know how well it was going to do.
Copacabana.
All right, now everybody's playing that in their head. Here at the Copacabana. So, of course, I know you for that song. You wrote that song as well. That was original for you?
Yeah, sure.
And you didn't think that was going to work? Shoot, I could have told you that was
a hit. No, Clive Davis, you know, who is the genius of what's going to be a hit song, didn't like that song. And he thought it would be great on the Sonny and Cher novelty show. And, you know, I thought, oh, well, you know, it's just a novelty song, but I'll put it on the album anyway because it's fun. So I had no idea that this song could ever be a hit. And Clive, you know, didn't release it as a single, but it began to creep up the charts by itself because record stations began to play it and get requests. And little by little, Copacabana started to go up the charts by itself because the public liked it that much.
It's such a fun song.
Yeah.
It's
well, now it makes perfect sense, but back then, maybe it didn't feel like a hit song. I don't know.
By the way, Bob's on line one and had a question for you about another one of your songs. Bob, you're on WGN with Barry Manilow. Hi.
Hey, Barry Manilow, this is Bob Erickson. My daughter was born in 1975, and we heard your song, Mandy.
Uh-huh.
However, I made a mistake of calling her Mandy. So her name now is Mandy Ann Erickson instead of Mandy.
How did you screw that up, Bob?
Really, Bob?
I know.
Her name is, it's a lovely name, but did you think I was singing Oh Mandy?
Yeah, I really did.
You think my Brooklyn accent made that happen?
So technically, this is your fault, Barry Manilow.
To it again. Do I sound like I'm singing Oh Mandy?
All right, Producer Olive, grab the song. We'll settle that here right once and for all right now. Thank you for the call, Bob. That's a wonderful story.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you, Barry.
Our best to your daughter, Mandy. You know, thanks for the phone call. The version I heard of that, though, Barry, I'm sure you've told this story a million times, was that it was not originally a song about Mandy anyway. It was about Brandy or somebody else, right?
It was called Brandy. It was a rock and roll song that Clive found in England, and it was a rock and roll song, and he gave it to me to record, and I thought, really? Me? A rock and roll song? But I found a love song in it. And here I go back to being an arranger. I took this rock and roll song and found the love song in it. And that was the record. I took this thing that they didn't expect to work, and I made it into a ballad and, you know, changed the key and made a big ending and added violins to it, and it became the Mandy that we know now. But that's what an arranger does, and that's what happened with Mandy. Brandy.
I think you said Mandy there, Barry.
Yeah, I think I hear it. I hear it. It's my fault.
My bad. Do you, later in life, I keep saying later in life, I'm surprised how energetic and able you are as a person who's in his 70s.
Stop, please. I am as old as the friggin' hills. But I look fabulous. And
you do.
I'm still, you know, full of energy and still creating, and I don't know. I'm
well, that's my point. So do you find, though, that there are certain themes in your mind, in your life, that you write about now that are different, maybe? What are you writing about in your new album?
Well, there's just so many things you can write about in a song. I can't write, you know, I didn't go to the bathroom today, or, you know, it doesn't make good for a lyric, you know. So there's just so many things you can write, and certainly for pop songs, all you got is I love you, I miss you, and come back to me. But, you know, I do try to go further away from that. We wrote a song called Touch by an Angel, and it's a beautiful song, great, real big, and that's the next album, by the way, and you know, it's about somebody who's inspiring to them. That you can still write about.
By the way, I don't know if you saw the New York Times Sunday crossword puzzle. You are the answer to one of the questions in the Sunday New York Times crossword puzzle. I don't know how many awards you've had in your life, but you've finally made it now, Barry. You're in the New York Times.
You know, I do the New York Times crossword puzzle. I didn't do it. Is it on this last Sunday?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And by the way, the question is about the Copacabana. It's like he's the Copacabana guy. And
oh, my God.
The answer is Manilow.
All right, I'm hanging up on you right now.
In that case, thank you, Barry. Congratulations on a great career. And really, the new album is terrific as well.
Thanks.
I make a date for golf, and you can bet your life it rains. I try to give a party, and the guy upstairs complains. I guess I'll go through life just catching colds and missing trains. Everything happens to me.
Everything happens to me, the latest single from this.
I never miss a thing.